AG1.
What's up? I'm here to talk to you about AG1 Athletic Greens again. You know, it's important to me that the supplements I take are high quality, and that's why I've been taking AG1 for, what is it now, 4 years, 3.5 years or something like that? The thing I like about it is it's researched and developed by an in-house team of scientists, doctors, and nutritionists with decades of experience in their fields. So you know it ain't BS, it's AG. They are the real deal. I've been drinking it for so long. Quality for AG1 isn't a buzzword. They really push hard. Expert-led scientific research, high-quality ingredients, industry-leading manufacturing, rigorous testing. They got it all. At each step of the process, AG1 is going above and beyond. Now, what I like about them, first of all, you can trust what's in every scoop of AG1 because it's an NSF certified for sport, which is like a rigorous, independent quality. They've tested for over 950 contaminants, banned substances. The industry standard apparently is only testing for 10. Dude, it's 95 times as rigorous. And it's not complicated. It's so simple. It's just replacing health supplements like multivitamins, digestive aids, immune support, in just one simple scoop. It takes 60 seconds. You don't have to swallow a bunch of pills on an empty stomach. Boom. And as I always say, you get a little bit of water in there too. Get that day started. So with the water, and then for me, the prebiotics, probiotics, and digestive enzymes for gut support is probably the most important ingredient. I eat a pretty varied diet, so I get my nutrition from a lot of places, but I got to eat more fermented foods. But AG1 lets me have this prebiotics and probiotics first thing in the morning. Take care of my digestive enzymes, which if you're a listener of the podcast, you know I need help with. All right. Look, I've partnered with AG1 for so long because they make a high-quality product that I genuinely look forward to drinking every day. I chug down an AG1 maybe within 10 minutes of getting out of bed. It's the way I start my day every day, even on the road. So if you want to replace your multivitamin and more, start with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free one-year supply of vitamin D3 plus K2 and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first subscription at drinkag1.com/mighty. That's DRINKAG, the number one, .com/MIGHTY. drinkag1.com/mighty.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
What's up, shitheads? Welcome back to another episode of High and Mighty. It's me, your boy, the number one fuckboy. The number one fuckboy. The number one fuckboy. And joining me, as always, in the High and Mighty studios is my nearly silent co-host, Arthur Gabrus. Arthur, give the people a shout-out. That's him just crushing a Nyla bone. Also joining me in the High and Mighty studios, first-time guest. I've been a fan of his for a long time, and I was actually a fan of his before I knew what like writers and showrunners were. Guys, put your digital hands together for Phil Rosenthal. Phil, thank you so much for coming over here.
Hello, shitheads!
yes. You're the first guest that I was truly like, I can't believe I have to do this in front of like this sweet man that I'm...
It's a very unique opening, I have to say. And he, that's not some like sound effect that he was playing. His dog is really right next to me on this little couch enjoying this bone.
Yeah,
he's enjoying his paw. He's licking.
That's a famous
this
move
is,
of his.
Let's hear the licking.
Yeah, for those of you who don't want to hear me eat Taco Bell on a podcast,
that's hilarious.
You get to at least hear my dog lap at his arm.
He's so cute. He's right here. He was so happy to see me. My family isn't as happy to see me when I come in the door as your little dog here.
I think it's a low-key, understated thing about getting a dog is that they're always happy when you walk in the door, and that cannot be said about any other relationship.
You're right.
Like, they're truly like, you're home. You could, and if you need that, like, ego boost, you could walk out for 30 seconds. Like, if you
That's
really need
it. Because forget.
If you really need it, you could just walk out, check the mail, come back in. They're like, you're back.
I'm thinking about kicking my family out and just getting three dogs.
I tell you what, as someone who's had both family and dogs.
Dog's better.
Your dogs are better. You can leave them alone for 4 or 5 hours at a time and not have to worry about what
and
the hell
so
they're
happy.
Up to.
Now he's cranking on this bone. He loves it.
Yeah, he gets really excited when guests come over. As some people may know about dogs, they like present their favorite toy. And when Phil came in, Artie got pumped. Artie started running around and then brought his Nyla bone. And now is
he knows
truly,
I like,
I think this is getting disgusting.
He knows I like to eat. So he's showing me, look, I like to eat too.
Yeah, he looks like you in the Italy episode when you got the meat out of the big of it.
That's me.
Well, Phil, let's talk a little bit. Today's topic we wanted to talk about was your specialty, your forte. How I've come to know you is eating lunch with you, which is a very exciting thing.
Yeah.
Lunch, arguably, people would say is the second most interesting meal of the day, right? A lot of people would put dinner as like, that's when you flex your muscles on
I'm actually, the centerpiece of my day has always been lunch.
And this is what I want to get to, because I think lunch is a true writer's room, like, because it is, like, when you come up in, like, I've been in a few, when you come up, you're like, oh, I can't wait for lunch. Like, lunch is the thing you could build your day around, especially in those, in, like, I'm assuming in the Raymond room, it was, like, carte blanche, you know, like, order a bunch of stuff all for free, and, like, my friends who worked on The Simpsons are always, like, those guys are getting, like, the most, like, they're sending a PA to get Jitlada every Thursday or whatever.
When you move to Hollywood, and you're lucky enough to get a job in on a television show, and you're writing, and your dream has come true, you don't even realize that the best part of it is going to be in that writer's room, that a menu is going to come in. Now the work, it's wonderful at first, and then it becomes, oh my God, in here, it's like a veal pen. We're not allowed out, even. And sometimes you do that till 3 a.m. So you're in a room with guys, sometimes ladies, but mostly guys in this
especially
world.
In the time when you were coming up.
When I was coming up and I came to Hollywood in 1989, okay? So you're in the room for 12, 14, 16 hours. The only sunshine coming in is the menu.
Right.
And so that menu comes and you go, what do you mean anything from anywhere? Really?
Circle what you want. Write your name down next to
really?
What you want. Really? Yeah, it's so amazing.
And then you do. And you know what happens? You get fat.
Yeah, well, because you're sitting.
Well, you're sitting. And also, when somebody says anything you want.
You don't get just a salad.
Why would you? You're not thinking about self-preservation. You're thinking about, this makes me happy. This is the one thing in my day that is truly
the only thing
fun and great. And I think, you know, that's why food is so popular around the world. It's the break in your day. It's the thing we like. It's not just because we're hungry and we have to eat. We love it.
And it's the least frowned upon vice you can have.
I guess.
I think, right?
Yes.
Like, if you're, no one is ever really upset with someone for being like an overeater or like a gross eater. You're not like, I need my spouse to turn it around. But if they're drinking every day, you're like, hey chill out. But if
down.
They're having pancetta for breakfast every day, you're not going to fight them.
Well, if you overeat, you're only hurting yourself.
Right. Exactly. That's the thing.
Right?
Yeah.
But if you're drunk, you're annoying everybody.
Right. And I think the writer's room is like an amped up version of, if you've ever had a shitty office job,
yes,
the only bastion you have is like at 11 a.m. you're going, what are we doing for lunch? You know,
it's true.
What does everyone want to do for lunch?
And the world stops.
Right.
To do this.
Because you can get outside for a half hour.
Yeah.
You can eat at your desk. You're like, oh, guys, anything but Mexican. You know, like doing like it saves you. It gives you an hour to talk about leading up to it.
Yep.
A half hour to an hour of eating it. And then a half hour to hour after the fact of discussing it. Like it buys you 3 hours of a break from a monotony of a day.
It was, I mean, those are fun times. What's sad is dinner.
Dinner at work is brutal because you shouldn't be there for that. That's like a family thing.
And some people, when the show starts messing with your lunch, like, I'll give you an example. I worked on a hit show. I won't say what it is. It wasn't my show. It was another hit show that I was just a writer on, okay? And a memo came around. So I'm telling you, this is a hit show, and this was a popular place. Memo comes around to all employees who worked in the office building for this giant hit show. We noticed some of you were putting milk on your cereal when you come into the kitchen in the morning. Milk is for coffee. Cereal is for snacks. We do not provide breakfast for you.
What?
Do not put milk on your cereal.
Combining two things they have there already.
And I remember thinking, wow, if I'm ever lucky enough to have my own show, we're going to put milk on us.
And that's one of the, that's the thing, the lasting impression that Raymond has left on the world is that milk on the cereal.
Milk on our cereal. Not only did we put milk on our cereal, I can honestly sit here and tell you we had the best craft service in town. We have, because it was a priority.
I believe that.
Absolute priority. I believe that rule number one is be nice. That's it. I didn't know anything about running a show before I got my own show. I only learned from the people I had worked for.
You either learn from them seeing them be nice or seeing or them not be nice and be like, well, I'm not going to do that.
The memo about milk on the cereal, not so nice.
Right. It's a great teaching tool, being shown inappropriate behavior.
Right. Yeah. People treating you and your work less than nice is not nice.
Right. Okay. I follow.
So you that's rule number one. Rule number two, and I think this is even part of rule number one, is how do you show the people that you care about them, that you're not just paying lip service to be nice? What if the food was really good? What if the food at the craft service table where we go every spare moment, you know, when you're on the stage, especially
every turn,
and it's a long run through, or you're waiting for the camera blocking, or you're waiting for whatever, and it's even more so on a single camera show because the setups take so long, right? You're there many hours. Everybody congregates around, naturally, the food. So if it's just potato chips, you know, pretzels, but crap, you go, you grab it anyway, you stuff your face with it, and you move on. You don't feel good.
Yes.
But what if the craft service table, there was a chef who was preparing nice things? What if there was takeout all the time from different places? What if once in a while, Ann Sather's cinnamon buns from Chicago are sitting there, and they've been warmed up? What if deli from New York has flown in once in a while? What if crab claws from Joe's Stone Crabs once a year, and we took the hammers from the set department and covered the table with newspapers, and we all went to town?
Oh, that's awesome.
So what does that do? That creates this beautiful feeling of, you know, if you and I, we hadn't met before, but suddenly we're at the craft service table and we have one of those cinnamon buns, I would turn to you and I would say, wow, this is good. And you would say, oh my God, I can't believe I've never worked on a show that has the... Right away we're talking and we're happy.
Right. There's fewer instant connections than both saying at the same time.
Exactly. Food's the great connector.
Yeah.
And so you form a family. That's how you form a family, on and off stage.
Truly.
And so that's what you want. Oh. It engenders good feelings, loyalty, makes the show a happy place, makes the show better. I really believe that. The show is made better.
I agree with you. On a super low level, it's when you're coming up doing comedy videos and making shit with your friends, it's like, hey, can you come over today? And you're like, I'll order pizzas for everyone.
Pizza.
Right, exactly. And then all of a sudden you're like, okay. And then you eventually just get like older and your money goes up a little bit more, where pizza is nice every once in a while, but I'm not doing stuff for pizza anymore. But when you tell me, yeah, look, we're going to, it's not the best job, but we're ordering the best food, or we're doing this after the fact, I'm like, I'm in. I worked on 30 Rock as like a recurrent. I played one of the writers who didn't talk.
Great.
And I'd never been part of such a big show with such big names.
Yeah.
And then like, you know, like Alec is getting us the mud truck once a week. Aww. Tina's like today's sushi because we got a pickup, and like it's like craft services was amazing. And then every once in a while, the best thing from craft services at 30 Rock was someone would be like, the buffalo chicken wraps are out. And they would make like hot buffalo chicken wraps with like crumbled blue cheese and lettuce. And so, and I'd be like, we would just like everyone would be standing over them, just like gavones, like putting it down.
You know, I was there once.
You were.
You know, I did. Were you there when I was there? I did an appearance. And I'll tell you when I was there. You'd remember this if you were there.
Yeah.
It was the table read for the 200th episode.
Oh, I was not there. No.
Okay.
Yeah.
That occurred on the filming of my show. I think it's called I Heart Connecticut. And I played myself. But I was so thrilled that she had asked me, that Tina asked me to do it and wrote a little part for me, that I came to the show with Zabar's breakfast. And that was on the crypts.
Damn, I would have remembered that if I was there. Those Zabar's lox and whitefish on a bagel.
Unbeatable.
Unbeatable,
if
yes.
If people are listening, you can order this via the internet. You
yeah,
can
they'll
have
deliver.
It delivered to your house. My parents still send it every Hanukkah. I get Zabar's basket.
Yes, every Hanukkah we get my wife's stepdad Zabar's too, because that's like
who
his
doesn't
favorite.
Like it?
It's so good. If growing up as a Gentile on Long Island has taught yes. me one thing yes. is that Jews have breakfast figured out. Like anything.
Maybe that's it.
deli, like food yeah. wise, they have food a lot wise. Of stuff figured out. But like the a Jewish breakfast. Oh man, you give me some raw onions with some
but
salmon.
What does
cream
every ethnicity have in common? It's that they think their food is the best.
Right, and usually, that's amazing.
And they're right.
Everyone and is correct. Is. Yes. And luckily for like people who get to try now global culture, we can eat at all types of food. If you live in a major city or even
this
smaller
one.
Cities, yeah, LA in particular.
You saw my show. This I make the case that LA is the best food city in America, maybe the world, because who has our diversity?
I don't know. And I would argue, I would have 5 years ago before I moved here, really dug my heels in and said New York.
Right. Me too.
But upon living here for five yes. years, I'm like, it just seems like there's another level. There's like another tier that I can't explain where it's not a pizza slice joint and it's not a super expensive place.
Yeah.
But there's just these like, and maybe it's, maybe if I lived in New York now too, in like yeah. 2017, it would be a little different. But I feel like there's just more diversity amongst just the cuisines, but also like the style or the level of bouginess. Like they go all over the place now. Restaurants.
We have everything.
Yeah.
We have everything. And you came at a very good time. You know, when I first came in 1989, it wasn't so good.
No.
In fact, I hated it here when I first moved out. I found one or two places that I like to eat.
And but coming then, from New York where you like grew up, like there's 12 restaurants on your walk to get a cup of coffee in the
everything,
morning.
Everything,
yeah.
everything, everything.
Right, right.
But here's what I feel about New York now. And I think it's amazing. I do. I love it. And in fact, I filmed an episode of The New Thing there.
Oh, I'm excited
and
for the new season.
I'm thrilled about it. I love it. It's great, but there are so many people on top of each other in New York that every restaurant is full, regardless if it's good or not.
Right. Right. There is a wait for shitty but you can't right? get a seat at one of those Midtown Irish pubs that
so
there's like 50 of. You can't
if
even.
If there's no need to be better, sometimes you're not better.
All you have to do is be open.
Exactly. And it's full.
Right.
Now, I know it's very, very hard to make a living in a restaurant, especially in New York. But I feel like pound for pound, restaurant by restaurant, we actually might be better at this moment in time.
I might agree with you on that, especially because I think car culture opens it up a yep. little bit too, whereas like if I lived in Brooklyn for 8 years, if you told me, oh, you got to try this restaurant in the Bronx, I'd be like, I don't know if it's ever happening.
Exactly.
Without a car. I'm like, I don't yeah. know if I take an hour and 50. I'm like, when will I be in the Bronx for work and maybe I'll right. grab a sandwich? But then you come to LA and it's like, oh, the San Gabriel Valley has amazing Chinese food. You're like, oh, how far away is that? They're like, well, that's like a 45-minute drive. You're uh-huh. like, well, that's a journey, but
yeah.
that's not.
I'm in my car.
Right, I'm in my car.
I got my music. I got my phone.
I don't have to transfer five times. Yeah, yeah, I can, yeah. So I think
once in a while.
Yeah.
The thing is, though, the traffic now here is not so good. And that 405 is such a dividing line.
Right.
That it's rare that I'll get to a great restaurant in Venice. I know they're there.
Right.
But I live on this side. And so it's actually, it's a real consideration.
Yeah, I truly only, like, if I ever have an audition on the West Side in Santa Monica, I, like, build my whole day around
you
it.
Have to.
I'm like, okay, 11 a.m. audition. Let me go get it. I'll get lunch at Bay City.
Yes.
I'll try something. And then I'll go to the beach for 3 hours. Like, I just do it. Once I have to be there, I'm like,
yeah.
what else did I want to do? What was the name of that? I was going to ask you the marker for that pasta place you were telling and that's right next to a burger place.
Oh, yeah. Wovo.
Yeah. I was yeah. like, that's like locked in my head of just like, when I get the chance to be on the West Side, I'm like, Google that, you know, and I'll find it.
That's an amazing thing that they did.
I know. You really turned
you know
me on to
did?
It. Like you said, like you hit me with like everything that sounded right. You're like, and they keep it affordable and they make
yes.
it fresh and
yes.
it's top notch and it's quick. And
it's all under $15, I think. And the pasta is made in Bologna for real.
Right.
And then it rests on the jet ride over
and it's finished
to LA.
Here.
Yes. And then they have these computerized computer-timed baskets that lower into the boiling water. So your individual portion of pappardelle is going into the water at a different time as my spaghetti, because they cook differently.
And then they can still come
and
out.
And then they come out, computer, when yours is ready, it comes out. When mine is ready, it comes out by machine.
Oh, that's awesome.
Then the man takes it and puts it in the saute pan and puts one of the 8 or 9 different sauces that you asked for on it, makes it fresh right there for you, and it is perfect pasta. You feel like you're in Italy.
Oh, that's amazing. And Italy is a big place for you.
Italy wins.
Italy wins, yeah.
I think. I mean, now I've gotten, you know, I'm very lucky I've gotten to go to many places. But for some reason, you know, we have an affinity for what we have an affinity for.
Right.
I just feel at home in a strange way there. It's everything. Everywhere you look is beautiful. That's number one. And I've been up and down the country, not everywhere, but enough to know, wow, this place is gorgeous.
They've got a high hit rate at minimum. It's 85% beautiful.
I mean,
if you
go to Venice, that's gorgeous. You go to Florence, that's gorgeous. You go to the lakes, that's gorgeous. You go to Portofino, that's gorgeous. You go to the Amalfi Coast, you go to Rome, you go to Naples, you go to... I haven't hit a bad spot yet.
I've only been to Tuscany for 1 week, and it was still like 3 of the best food experiences I've had in 1 week. And I wasn't even under any specific guidance. I just happened to go to like some random small places, and it's beautiful. And there is a magic to not fully knowing what everyone's talking about. There is sort of like a Narnia-esque feel to that. But Italy is... It worked. I know every culture is like, our food is the best, we're based around food, but... Italians seem to double down on food more than almost anyone else. We're like, everyone, like, you know, you meet like that Italian family where 8 people in the family are all amazing cooks. And you're like, how do you guys all good at it? And who do you decide does what when?
I think you're looking at beautiful stuff, you know, the scenery, the atmosphere, the little trattoria on the square. Outside, life going by there for thousands of years. You know, you feel that.
It feels old and ancient.
The food is so delicious. If you remember your first bite of pasta in Italy, you know, it's just mind-blowing. You're like, we don't have that. We don't have it. It just is not.
I remember putting a piece of prosciutto on my tongue like an acid tab, and it like just dissipated in my mouth. And I was like, right from a like Tuscan butcher's hand, I was like, like no glove, cut it, put it bare hand in my hand from his hand. I popped it in my mouth. I was like, this is unreal.
Unreal. Oh. And then the people. Everyone's hugging and kissing you. So what's not to like? Show me the bad part. I don't see it.
In your Italy episode, you kissed the gelato woman and the meat guy. Forgive me for not knowing anyone's names, but you were like, say to this big burly chef guy who's got meat grease all over his face, you go, you know, I kissed the gelato woman, and you guys both kiss each other. It was like the cutest moment.
I love that guy. That's Dario Cecchini. He was the butcher in the famous book Heat by Bill Buford, right?
That's him. Oh, wow.
And he's... You know, he's a giant of a man with giant hands. It looks like he can take apart an ox without help, right? Without a tool.
Yeah, he's like stone hands.
And
like
I think he does do that. I think he does. But you saw the thing. He'll take a big slab of meat, this bistecca fiorentina, which is by law, Tuscan law. To call it bistecca fiorentina, the steak of Florence, it must be 3¼-inch thick minimum.
Oh.
That's a good law, right?
That's a good law. That's a good law.
Sometimes regulation is a good thing.
The piece of meat that you guys cook in that, when you grab it with the mitt and it's like as wide as like your hand could grab. Yeah. It's like, I'm trying to, like, it's like thick, like a textbook, like a fan. It's like a Game of Thrones book. It's like size.
So here in LA, you can actually get that. It costs a lot of money. But if you have 8 people, it's not a lot of money.
Right.
And a steak like that will feed 8 people. I think at Kisbacca you can get something like that.
Oh, that's recently.
I heard Charcoal in Venice you can get a steak like that. I
haven't done. So I've been saying Kisbacca for so long.
I believe the correct pronunciation is Key.
All right, I'll trust you on that. Yeah, okay. I love that restaurant. I love that place.
She's
your friend. Well, I have a funny story about Nancy. Her daughter, I became friends with. I was briefly at CAA before everyone, all the comedy people moved to UTA. Uh-huh. And I worked with Vanessa a little bit there. We met at South By and we became buds.
Yeah.
And she's like, hey, come grab dinner with me one time at Moza. I was like, oh, that's fun. And we're sitting at the counter and she's like, this woman is giving us cheese and giving us breads. And I'm like, Vanessa's like, this is my mom. I'm like, oh, your mom works at Moza. It's so cool. I'm like, where do I know the name Silverton? I'm watching Chef's Table and it's someone's episode of Chef's Table that she's like a talking head on.
Yeah.
And she comes out and I'm like, to my wife, I'm like, Tiff, do you recognize who that is? And she's like, oh my God, that's, and I'm like, we sat at a bar and had Nancy serve us and explain us cheeses and meat and all this stuff. And it was so amazing. And I didn't even know who she was in that moment. I like, you know, it's like shaking hands with who was that? Oh, that was Don Mattingly.
Yeah,
like,
right.
Oh, I should have.
Yeah, of course. No, she's the queen.
It was awesome. And then watching I found your show randomly on a like Delta flight and I was like, oh, I saw Exporting Raymond and I was like, oh fuck, Phil, that's so funny. And he like, I click on it and then I'm watching it and I tell my wife, I'm like, you have to watch this, that's Nancy, and look, it's Phil. And I watched the Italy episode.
Yeah.
And now and then she watched them all and she's like, oh, her whole thing is she's like, can you tell Phil he's the cutest every time we go to lunch? She's like, tell him he's the cutest.
That's very nice. I'd like a picture of your wife and I'll see about training you wives.
All right, fair enough.
All right. No, I love my wife. Don't, if she's listening, Monica, you know I make jokes, wife jokes. We have a house because of the wife joke.
Yeah. Do you have to explain that to your parents every once in a while?
I make the parent joke. The only joke I like more than the wife joke is the parent joke.
Right. Oh, I've seen some of your stuff.
But they you know, they're in the show and they're in the new show too.
I love it. The Skyping your parents is like,
that's, everyone tells me when they meet me, oh, I love your parents. They're my favorite part of the show. I'm like, why do I bother? Why am I flying places? Why have I don't want you just go talk to them for an hour?
You're in like Barcelona partying, yes. Eating. You FaceTime with your parents and people are like, that's my favorite part.
Yes.
You're like, don't let the line producer know that that's the people are watching. I'll immediately drop my food and travel budget.
But, you know, they were in Exporting Raymond and they were the best part of that.
Right.
And I'm not stupid. I know stars when I see them. Yeah. And so I just thought the whole travel thing.
Well, it's also this, you did the same thing with Raymond where you're like, yes. I got some models for parents that I think would work script-wise.
Absolutely. But you know, there's this prejudice against old people from executives. They think old is old and they don't want it.
Right.
And, you know, at the end of season one of Raymond, I'll never forget it. We were taping the last episode of season one. We were lucky enough to be picked up, right? And some executive came over to me while we're filming and says, maybe we don't need the parents in every episode next season. Yeah, like we could save money and they're old anyway and we'll get younger demos or something if we don't have them. Like, do you, first of all, why don't you say it a little louder? They're right over there, right? Second, do you hear the people laughing? Hear the people are laughing at them. Do you understand? Do you know that 20 whatever years later, they've done research from local stations, right? They're aware of the demos and the numbers. For young people, kids even, the most popular characters, Grandma and Grandpa.
Of course. That's who your favorite is when you're a kid.
Yes. You don't care.
Your grandma and grandpa never ground you. They never say no to you.
You love them. Yeah. They say the funniest stuff, right?
Yeah.
Because there's no filter. They're actually the coolest ones.
We used to have reverence for old people. Now we're like, get out of the way.
Well,
it's an immediate lack of foresight because we are all become old people. If we're lucky, you get to be an old person.
Mel Brooks, we mock the thing we ought to be.
I know that you're a guy who plans a lunch every day, right?
Every day. Centerpiece of the day. Because we work, right? So it's like a tent pole. We work till we get to lunch.
Yeah.
The good part. And then if we have a good lunch, the work for the rest of the day will go nicely. Or if we have too big a lunch, I'm going to be asleep in an hour.
But there's nothing like a shit lunch to like really burn your back half of the day.
That's why I plan it.
Yeah.
Right?
You don't want to like scramble and eat like a Starbucks sandwich.
No, and you don't waste it on somebody that you're not going to enjoy having lunch with. You don't waste it on a place that's not good. I'm always happy to try a new place, but if I've tried it and maybe I didn't like it so much, that's it.
Yeah.
I mean, unless somebody says, no, you didn't have this there.
Oh, yeah.
You have to have this.
Or like,
this
come with me. Trust me. I'll order for
gotta
us.
Gotta have it.
Yeah. And there's nothing I like more than going to a place with someone who knows a little bit about the place and it's all new to me. And having had lunch with you a couple of times is like, that excites me so much. You were like, trust, what was the thing we got at the Thai place that you were like, we sought out at Love to Eat Thai? I was like, I've never even heard of that. And it came to the table. I was like, this is so amazing. Like, I love
the cow soy.
The cow soy, yes.
Because I had that in Thailand. That's coming up on the show.
Oh, I can't wait.
I think it's my favorite thing I've ever found. Like, it was insane. Ian Kidichai is he's one of the Iron Chefs, and he's from Bangkok, right? And so Chiang Mai is like a few hours away by plane. Thailand is bigger than you think,
yeah.
Right?
It already, yeah, I would have assumed you could ride a scooter top to bottom time, yeah.
And so we're there, and we're going down this side road, middle of nowhere, it feels like, in Chiang Mai. And it's a shack with some little fold-up tables, little card chairs, you know, little one guy making stuff. I'm like, I don't even know how clean this is. You're eating next to propane tanks and things. That, you know, it's not beautiful by any stretch of the imagination. A bowl comes, and cow soy is a kind of coconut curry-based, like a soup, but with fresh noodles, like the best pasta in Italy. Freshly made. At the bottom of it, then all kinds of like pickled mustard greens and shallots and onions and chili peppers. So it's this coconut, all that is going on. Then giant pieces of chicken in it, right? And then on top, crispy noodles.
That's the kicker for me on that one.
It's got everything going.
It's literally like a 50 texture bite.
It's got the sweet, savory, salty, everything.
Yeah.
Textures, right? Crispy to creamy to everything. It's one of the best things you ever ate in your life. It's a dollar. This bowl. Twice as big as the one we get here. A dollar. If you want the chicken and beef combo, $1.50. Right?
Those are my favorite places in the world.
Well, you can't believe it.
Right.
Because I don't care who you are, you love a deal.
Right.
And I do. And
yeah. When that, you're not want for cash.
You just can't. They say the best things in life are free, right? Yeah. Or a dollar.
Yeah. Free food is something truly special.
Well, it's just like, you're out of your mind. I ate the entire bowl of chicken. And the entire bowl of beef.
You had for $2.
Right there. Exactly right. I did it because I knew, when am I coming here again?
Right.
This is spectacular. Oh. Once in a while, you find those foods. When am I coming here again? I got
Yeah, you
got
to like put
way,
it in your
way
head.
More than I normally would. And for some reason, when it's that delicious, there's no side effect. There's no like, oh, I shouldn't have.
Right. Well, that's the thing. It transcends like the guilt when it's something that's truly, you only feel guilt when you're like, yeah, that wasn't worth indulging. Is like, you know, like,
or you made a mistake and you split it with your brother.
Oh,
and you're like, oh no.
Yeah.
What did I do?
Or that's
this was this was so much better than I thought it was going to be. Yeah. Give me that.
Oh yeah. I will say the one thing I love, one of many things I love about being married. Oh, here's a second toy. And this one's good because it's even louder.
This is hilarious. This is a sock owl, it looks like. Then he brought it for me to show me, look, you see that I enjoy things too, Phil? Look at this. And I'm going to chew this now right next to your head.
I got this in a tiny Thai province.
Yeah.
When I was traveling the world.
It's a dollar. It looks like a dollar.
It is. We have to find him special toys because he finds the weakness in every toy and disassembles it. That's like his only thing.
He's a genius.
He oddly is, and he kind of knows it, and he uses it against us.
I love it.
Yeah. And here he goes.
He's going to town. Let's listen.
He likes.
Sniffed the mic. He's wondering what I had for lunch. Sniffing the mic.
What did you have for lunch today?
Nothing yet.
Nothing yet.
You know, I had an apple today.
Ooh.
I'm going to the valley. I have a meeting up there after this, and I'm going to a new sushi bar that I found, because if I have a meeting, I'm like you. If I'm going somewhere for
I'll look
business,
up the lunch, yeah.
What is there to eat around there?
That's 100%
what
I do.
I'm not coming back here. I can do that anytime. I'm in a new area.
exactly
what's to eat.
I'll plan my drives home from places and be like, ooh, well, if I take Van Ness the whole way, I can, you know what I mean? Or something like, I'd be like, oh, actually, if I skip this, I can come this way and I'll drive right past that sushi place everyone says is good. And I'll go in there and like, I love that.
Who has better sushi than LA?
I don't
maybe
know.
Tokyo, but I tell you the truth, I did the Tokyo show and I was, you know, I had some amazing food.
Yeah.
I can't say that sushi was better there than here.
Was that the 100-year-old egg episode too?
That was Hong Kong.
That was Hong Kong. That was Hong Kong.
Yeah, you don't need that.
No. I like your attitude, Phil, because I'm a guy who will try anything and I often like everything. I have a very low when it comes to movies. And food, I have such a low bar of just like, I appreciate an effort, or I'm like, oh, that was actually filling, or like, that was interesting. I could like enjoy it. I could watch a 2.5-hour movie, and if there's like a 6-minute sequence I really like, I'm like, that was worth it, you know?
Absolutely. That makes your life happy.
Yeah.
You know, if you hate everything, then you know, like, I can't say that I'm as tolerant of bad movies.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah. That makes sense.
I would say I love most food. But I can't say I love most movies.
Right. I think in the, again, to go back to the Italy episode, you have a great moment where you're not excited about eating tongue. And then you take the bite. Oh, wait, no. Was it fourth stomach?
Yeah.
And you take a bite and you go, okay, you know, if I didn't know what that was, but it's good meat, good cheese, and good bread. And it was, and I was like, that sentence right there, you described my favorite cuisine. Good meat, good cheese, good bread. I don't care how you combine them together with dumpling form. Yeah. And that's why, that's me. I came into food via sandwiches. Like, I loved sandwiches growing up.
Yeah.
And now I'm an adult and I can afford more than sandwiches, and it's a delight.
Isn't that great?
What
I used
that?
To. I was a starving actor in New York for years. I studied theater in college, and I used to eat tuna fish sandwiches almost every night. And then I became a writer, and now I eat whatever I want.
I used to eat rice and beans from Bonita on Bedford Avenue in Williamsburg for $2.
Yeah,
it was right past the walk to my apartment when I was a PA or an unemployed actor, comedian. I'd be like, $2 for a great bowl of rice and beans, and they were like, do you want a burrito? And then every once in a while, I'd get like a coach an improv show and get some money or something like that. I'd be like, I'd like a burrito.
Yes.
And they were like, look at this king.
Fancy.
Like, yeah.
Fancy.
But now it's, my wife is a great cook, and she's a nut foodie too. Like, foodie's not the right word, but she loves to try restaurants. We like to drink wine. So it's like my life, my budget for food is, I mean, it's higher than it should be, but it's a huge portion of the money we make, surprisingly, how much we spend on food.
I certainly don't spend it on clothes.
Right? You're talking to a guy who's in sweatpants,
right?
Who has a job from home, so he doesn't have to get dressed.
I'm all about it. I will say, though, and you're much younger than me, but how do you feel about the 4-hour tasting menu?
It depends. I'm more of a medium brow guy when it comes to food. Like, I like a place that's like, hey, we do a couple of things really well. It's not super expensive. It's interesting. It's outside the box. It's this cuisine or whatever.
Yeah.
Those are my places. But every once in a while, it's hard not to be like having an amazing tasting menu.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And or sometimes like, oh, you're about to get kisses. Artie, back up off Phil for a little bit.
Right.
Artie has now, for the listeners at home, Artie has now brought 3 separate toys, including his little Chewbacca.
Yeah.
And now he's all nestled
and
up.
He's just on
Phil.
My lap, and he's adorable. Too bad you can't see this, people.
I know. Well, you know what? I'll do it for the gram, and I'll send it to you, Phil, so you can have it as well.
Nice.
When this episode comes out, because this is precious as fuck. Cheech. Yeah, buddy. All right. This is how much my wife and I love food. I'm with you on this. We decided this year for the holidays to be the first time to not go see our families. We've just had like a crazy year.
It's
enough with
them.
Yeah, we're like, let's just travel. We feel like this.
Where
is
are you going?
We're going to Paris, a repeat trip for us, and then Barcelona. Truly. Only because we like tapas. We chose 6 nights in bars. We're assuming we're going to have a blast and find a bunch of other stuff to do.
Yeah.
We're going to rewatch your episode in preparation.
I was going to say.
That's the rooftop party episode, right?
If you watch those episodes, you have a list.
Yeah.
I wanted it not just to be entertaining, but that people leaving, you know, the show take something with them. They have a list now that if they go, and hopefully that, you know, that's the goal. I'm trying to get you to travel.
I know. And
that's all I want to do is get people to travel. I think the world would be better if we all experienced a little of someone else's experience.
It's so true. And also, it's humbling to be in a place where it's not immediately catered to you via language, via visuals and stuff. And it's like the first time I've traveled a fair amount, but not until recently because I've been broke my whole life. And now I have a little bit of money. Me and my wife went to Paris. We got off the plane. We got in the airport and we're just like, we're going to Paris. We're going to Paris. We land and we're like, holy shit. We don't even know where the cabs are. We don't know how to say where we're staying. All of a sudden, it all hit us. We were like, oh, we didn't do... This is amazing. We're here.
No homework.
Yeah, we're here. It's just the two of us in a world. Like, it feels so... And then...
And I'm guessing you had a great time.
I had an amazing time. Again, it feels like... And I don't know if your mind and body rounds everything up a grade, you know, if your body grades it on a curve. But I would be like, sit down at like a random street cafe and have like a croissant and like a coffee. And I'm like... This is fucking amazing.
Yeah. Heaven. It's heaven. It's just the greatest thing to do.
I've never smoked a cigarette in my life. I've smoked exclusively jazz cigarettes. And if you can get a whiff of my apartment, I was in Paris and I was like, I want to smoke cigarettes. Like, it looks cool. Look at all these people in their fucking scarves smoking cigs. Yeah.
This is so romantic. You know what would go good with this? Cancer.
But man, Paris was it's a movable feast. They're right.
They are right. It's just great. The world has a lot of nice things still. I don't want people to get depressed the way things are now. And, you know, we're bombarded with it every day. If you travel, you'll see.
Yeah.
You know, and I know we can't afford to travel everywhere overseas.
But there's 50 states too.
You got it. And by the way, we're sitting in a place where you can visit almost every culture in the world.
Right.
Right? In a few minutes.
Yeah.
We just don't do it because we're creatures of habit. We're also afraid to try something because we think, what if we don't like it? And I'm here to say, you're an adult.
Right.
You don't have to like everything. The trying of it is actually the fun part.
I have few pet peeves in life.
Yeah.
I have few things that immediately make me write a person off. And two of them are food related. If you refuse to try something, if you're like, no, I just generally don't like things like that. I'm like, no, just try this one. Yes. Just try it. You won't die.
Yes.
I promise you. You can taste it and you can go, that's not for me. But you tasting it in front of me is huge.
Yeah.
And then the second one is, if you are remotely rude to servers or you're toast. And like my wife.
One more thing.
Oh, yeah. Throw it out.
We're having lunch and you don't want to, I'm going to share everything I have with everybody.
Yes.
If you're one of those, I get mine and everyone else go away, there's going to be a limited relationship.
I agree. I understand that some people are germophobes and they're like, oh, I kind of just want one of these to myself, but you got to share. But sharing is what it's all about. I mean,
I think.
Look
at all the places now that do family style exclusively.
Yes.
The server comes over and says, you know, our plates are meant to be shared, right?
I prefer that because you get to try more things,
that's
of course.
It.
Yeah. Like the Animal and Son of a Gun, which are two of my local favorites over here.
Great.
Walkable, great restaurants.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm in New York again in that way.
You're in a great neighborhood right here.
Yeah, for food. Heck yeah. That place Ponte that just opened up, right?
I haven't been there yet.
Kind of GPSing where I live to the freak listeners, but Ponte.
Yeah.
Very good. I highly recommend their pasta pomodoro. It's so plain.
Well, that's him.
Yeah, that's his thing. That's his specialty.
That's his specialty. It's one of the best pasta dishes in America, I think.
It was,
I had it in New York for the first time, and I was like, oh, this guy's special.
I had it like a week and a half ago with my in-laws, and it was truly...
You know what the secret is of that dish?
What?
Butter.
Yeah, I think it's in Bourdain's book where he goes, you know why my sauce is better than yours?
Yeah.
Because butter.
Butter.
Yeah. And butter is the best ingredient in everything. And that's the other thing. We eat such weird crap as like a society where it's like, we're like, oh, no butter, please. Give me this frozen burger that I can like grill. And it's like, I don't understand our priorities. Like, that's why I don't mind. I mean, obviously I'm a big boy to begin with, but I don't mind eating unhealthy when it's like, you have to try it the way it's made, you know?
Well, there's a big argument as to, you know, you're much better off with all natural ingredients.
Even
butter,
if it is butter and cheese and,
you know,
full fat
beef
whey,
then the crap that they're, I swear to God, I do these shows and I go everywhere and I eat everything and I come home and I've lost weight. How is that? And then as soon as I'm here, I start gaining weight.
When we went to Paris, we were there for 5 days and we ate 3 to 4 meals a day.
Yeah.
And indulged at every step of the way, drank wine the entire time, but walked around the city
and
a fair amount, came home, lost weight.
Yes, it's not just the walking around the city.
Right. It's just because you're eating food. So clean. Yeah.
That's it.
And so I'm so excited.
You're going to go.
What do you do?
When do you go?
Well, next week, Thursday, I leave.
Awesome.
Yeah. What do you do if you have to, if you're home and you have to slap something? Are you ever slapping together a lunch? Like, or do you always have like some sort of leftover container or?
I'm not a chef. I'm not a cook. I'm not good at it. I don't have the patience for it. I appreciate everyone else's great work so much that I'm thrilled to let them do it. And you know, people say, you know, if you love food so much, you should know how to cook. I'm like, why? I meet some of the best chefs in the world. They can't write a sitcom.
Right.
Why do we all have to do everything?
A lot of people like TV. That doesn't mean they have to learn to write it.
Yes, yeah. I'm the guy who appreciates, like if I went to the magic show, amazing.
Right, you don't have to then take magic.
If I know how the trick is done, actually, I don't like it as much. Let it be magic.
I'm the same way. I have this thing where I'm confident I'm a jack of all trades, but there's certain things where I'm like, it's not worth my time because I will never be at like I cook for my wife like one in every 10 meals, mm-hmm. maybe one in every 15 meals that we cook. And I'm always like, she's like, this is such a nice treat. I'm like, you like cooking. You're way better at it.
Yep.
And I prefer your food. Like, I feel bad that you get pigeonholed in this job, but you're way better at it. And I want to eat your food, not mine.
I think I'm okay on the grill, right? I can make a good sandwich, I think. But even the best chefs in the world will tell you, they're nothing without the great ingredients.
Right. And that's what I think my specialty comes in is that I'm obsessed. I used to be part of like this gym in New York that was sort of like weirdly progressive. It was a CrossFit gym, but everyone was like on the same meat CSA and we were sharing recipes and we were cooking in like paleo and like all these like things. But I got really into that was the year that I found out about like quality of like, oh, I got a grass-fed ground beef and made a burger from it and it tasted good. And now I'm like, oh, what about nitrate-free Applewood smoked bacon? And I find myself, now I go to the butchers, my guys at the Grove, we know we're fans of the Grove.
Yeah, yeah.
The butchers at the Grove, I'll spend a half hour and $200 there between him and the poultry market. I love the quality of meat. Like that's like my favorite thing now.
Yeah. Isn't it great?
Cause like the steak you eat in the Bistec Fiorentina, when you eat that, the woman even says his wife, the translator is like, there is nothing on that.
That's right.
And there's no salt, no pepper, zero. And it's absolutely amazing.
Amazing.
Let me tell you this quick prosciutto story because I feel like you would like this. I'm in Italy. I'm shooting a movie, so I'm randomly there for a week. Friends that were working on the production before me were like, you got to go to this place in town. Tell them you're with the movie. We're in this small little area in Braga where if we're in the movie, like that's all they know. That's the only thing happening in the city.
Sure.
So we go down to this little, and it's like a New York style deli. There's two tables, olive oil and wine on every shelf. And the guy's like, do you want me to just bring you food? And we were like, that's exactly what we want. And we were just getting served course after course of like crostinis, bruschetta, like this, that, the other thing. And then an 80-year-old, and the guy serving us is this big fat guy who loves American movies. And Dave Franco, James Franco's brother, was also in the movie.
Yes.
And Now You See Me is my favorite American film. And he loved it. Wow. He's like, I love magic. I love Dave Franco. And it was like, he was showing us on his iPad. Oh. It was like such an exciting culture thing there. And then he's this big, fat, sweaty guy. So nice. And a little 80-year-old man buzzes up on a Vespa with what looks like a giant paper bouquet on his back.
Uh-huh.
Walks in, drops it on the thing, thud, unwraps it. It's a giant pig leg.
Oh.
And it's already dried prosciutto style. The guy comes over, slices it off with a knife, and he looks over, and me and my two dining mates are staring at him. He goes, you want? I was like, fresh off the Vespa?
Yes.
And he comes over, and that's when he just palms it and puts it right in our bare hands. And I couldn't even, I'm talking about this now. I'm like, now in my head, scrambling for what I want to eat for lunch.
So as good as that is, you're going to go to Barcelona.
Yeah.
And you're going to go to the, Iberico Ham Store that I went to.
I know.
And you're going to try that there.
I know. I can't wait.
You're going to go crazy.
Yeah, the things I'm excited for are that Iberico Ham Store, the canned clams that are like amazing when you like you just pop them open and squirt a little lemon. And
I know. That's in Lisbon, too. They have everything is canned, those little sardines and tuna and stuff like that. It's
so
delicious.
Into it. Yeah.
Makes the best souvenir, too.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
I'll bring home a bunch.
Yeah.
That's a smart move.
Yep.
Do you have any places around the world or country that are like underrated in your mind? I know that's such like
What a question.
But someone's like, you know, because everyone talks about Italy as good food and stuff like that. But, you know, everyone knows that those are culinary destinations. But do you have one that's like surprised you maybe or even one place?
Lisbon. Lisbon is unbelievable. People think of it as like a second tier European city. So I'm here to say no.
No.
It is as great as Paris, as great as Barcelona, as great as Florence. It is, you know, a world culture, Portuguese. It looks a lot like San Francisco.
Oh, cool.
It's hilly. It's on a bay. There's even a bridge that looks like the Golden Gate. There's trolleys that go up the thing. But then it has the squares of Paris, you know?
Oh, yeah, I love
and
those.
And the piazzas of Rome. And how about this? The sidewalks are these beautiful mosaics, beautiful limestone square designed. And I'm not talking about in the main boulevards. I'm talking about every friggin' sidewalk is, you know, these kind of 3x3-inch square mosaics.
Like multicolored
the
tiles.
The entire black and white usually with designs. So that says something, you know, about a culture even under your feet is beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
And then you look up
you
at the
walk
building
on art. Yeah.
And they have those beautiful ceramic tiled buildings. It's gorgeous. The food, their food culture is, they're right on the water, so the freshest seafood, the greatest, like, unbelievable, one of my favorite restaurants anywhere is there, Ramiro, which is a casual seafood place. I think we had 8 different kinds of prawns and shrimps, like things you never even saw before coming out there. Dessert at this place is a steak sandwich.
Wait.
Because you've had seafood, and they say, okay, this is the last course. You didn't even ask for it. It just comes. Everyone gets a steak sandwich.
Oh, man. That's my dream dessert because I'm not a sweets guy. I prefer a dessert seconds, always.
But that's genius because a lot of fish is very light and it may not fill you up.
Yeah,
you know,
you get
have
that
shrimp,
sustenance
they,
when you leave.
Yeah, I mean, it's great. Yeah. I would have been fine, by the way.
Right.
But the steak thing came.
A little steak
awesome.
And bread to go.
It was awesome.
At the end is a great move. Yeah.
So the other thing they're famous for, people don't even know this, are the pastries. They have pastries as good as Paris in Lisbon. Lisbon is like, I can't wait to go back there.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, we're talking about going there next year. Because my wife's family, she has like her no one's there, but like her grandparents were Portuguese. So we're like, we should go see it. We've never seen it. And now when I tell her that Phil says one of the best restaurants there, we're going.
Oh, it's not just that restaurant.
Yeah.
It's just the way of life there is so beautiful. Very walkable city.
I love that. That's what's kind of like when you travel. It's like when you go to New York City, if you've never been there before and you're like,
yeah,
I got a slice of pizza and it was amazing. Where'd you get a slice of pizza? You're like, I actually don't know. It was like Famous Rays or something. You know, like you can go to like a garbage place, like a place that's like, there's 20 of them and the pizza's still the best.
Right.
Like, and you're like, holy crap. It's like taco trucks in LA.
Yeah.
Then you go to Paris and you're like, every place I had a croque madame was awesome. Like, you
true.
Know, and I had them at like the most arbitrary, like this just happens to be near a hotel. No research. No one told us to go here.
Or a plate of pasta in Italy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Plate of pasta in Italy. Everything's just like, you know, rising tide raises all boats.
Yes,
like in Italy,
yes.
You're just not going to find, it's going to be hard to find bad pasta.
Well, you know, you can, if you're dumb and you just go to the tourist places that where the menu's outside in English.
Right.
You know, when there's like a hawker outside saying, come in,
yeah,
in
come,
English.
Come, sit.
Hey,
yeah, hey,
American,
yeah,
come in. This is for you. It's not for you.
Right. Exactly. Get out of there.
Yes.
Yeah. You want to go to a place that's when you travel, you want to go to a place that almost you're intimidated to walk into, and not because it looks a certain way, but because it's like, I don't know, I'm going to feel lost in here.
You know, you look at a foreign language on the menu, and maybe you want to know what a few of the words mean, but you kind of make it out what, oh, that's, is that duck? That's duck.
Using context.
Let's
go. Yeah.
What, you don't know what the sauce is. I don't care. Whatever it is.
I'll figure it out.
I'll figure it out and maybe
then you can put the words together after the fact, right? You're like, oh, yes, that must mean parsnips.
Well, that's fun.
Yeah, now I know. Oh, that's so fun. Yeah, that's how I feel. I love that.
I now plan my trips. I'm sure I'm not alone. I'm sure you're one of these idiots like me who is planning the trip around where you're going to eat. That's first.
Yeah.
That's we first. Have, then we the have, hotels.
We have two reservations.
And then the sites.
Right. The sites come third. We have reservations already in Paris because we're going to be there for Christmas, so we're a little nervous about not finding something on Christmas Day.
Yes, of course you want to leave some openings for serendipity.
Right.
And there's nothing better than walking and discovering a thing. That's usually how I travel is I walk, seeing everything until lunch, walk, dinner.
That's exactly how we go. Wake up, coffee, breakfast, then poop, shower, whatever you need there, and then you're off for the day and just finding meals as the day goes or finding wines or beers, whatever it takes.
But listen, 2/3 of Americans don't have a passport.
That's
so I'm here to change it. I want you to travel. Start in your town. Start with the Peruvian restaurant that's down the street that you're like, what do I know about Peruvian food? Nothing. Look on your phone.
Yeah.
Right?
Google, yeah.
If only there was a device where we could learn about this thing. Yes.
Let's use our phones for good rather than just taking selfies.
Yes. Yeah. And go. Just go. See, first of all, you see, do other people like it? That's what I would do.
Right.
So there is, Yelp is good for that initial
All you
search.
Need to know is that it's not garbage. That's I use Yelp for it's people go to it.
and it's and where it is. That's what I use Yelp for. Yeah. And always cross-reference with one more source.
Right.
That way the odds of it being good are better. And then go and try stuff. Ask them what I go in a restaurant all the time. New restaurant. What do people like?
Yeah.
What's your most popular thing?
The most infuriating, look, I'm pro server. I was a bartender for a long time. My wife was a waiter. When the person's like, I'm like, what do you like? And they're like, well, that's popular. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. But what do you like?
Yes.
I'm like, hey, I'm not going to get mad at you if I disagree with you. I'm asking your opinion.
Yes.
I want to try what you really like here. You work here. You've been here. Be honest with
me. But you have an open mind. You have to have a little bit of an open mind. You can't just be, I don't eat that.
Oh, I will never say that.
But there's dietary restrictions that I understand.
That I understand.
Being a vegetarian, I understand that too. But beyond that, you got to try stuff.
Right.
That's the only way it's going to get better for you.
Do you do the thing when you're out to eat? I mean, I know you do it because I've done it with you, but when you're out to eat at a restaurant and talk about five other restaurants over the course of the meal?
Well, you can't help it. This triggers a memory of something or a desire to find another version of this or know about a thing. Like if we're having the cow soy over here, there's a place in the valley called Cow Soy.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Or you're having this.
And that's, we got to go there next. If you like this, wait till you have that.
I think we brought up Red Sauce Italian and then we made plans to go to the next place. Yes. It was a Red Sauce Italian place. My wife and I are the same way. And then sometimes I'll have to nip her in the bud because we'll be going and she'll be like, we'll be talking about Thursday's dinner at Sunday night.
And
I'm like, hold on. Let's eat this meal.
Yeah.
Let's relish in this. It's so hard not to, though.
Yeah.
I get so excited.
It happens.
Yeah, the restaurant I'm looking most forward to repeating in Paris was this. I can't even tell you the name of it. I have it written down. But it was a steak frites place where that's all they served was steak.
Of course.
And they just keep bringing it by. They just keep walking by and it's got au poivre sauce on everything. And it's like, do you want more frites or more steak? And they just keep you pay one fee. That's all they have. And they're like, slide the steak on
your plate. I don't know that place.
I'll get the name for it.
I can tell you a great steak place though that I love in Paris in the Marais called Robert et Louise.
Oh, all right.
They cook the steak in the fireplace. It's unbelievable.
Oh.
Yes, you'll go crazy.
Oh, yeah. I'm going now. Robert and Louise. Well, Phil, we can wrap it up here. I know you got a meeting and probably a couple of lunch appointments.
I do.
When does the new season drop on Netflix?
Well, it's so exciting. It's got a new title.
What?
It's got, because now we're Netflix. and they made it a Netflix original. You don't have to worry. It's very, very, very similar to what you know. It's called Somebody Feed Phil.
Somebody Feed Phil.
I like it because I feel like the dog that people forgot about.
Hey, did anybody feed Phil?
That's right.
You're somebody, whining over by the coffee table.
Would somebody feed him? He looks hungry. So I like that. And 6 episodes at once. January 12th. January 12th, all at once. I would beg you, I would advise you, do not binge watch this show.
No.
Because it's a lot like overeating. If you have a giant meal, right? If you eat for an hour, you shouldn't then go eat for another hour.
Right. It's hard, too, because then kind of episodes blend together a little bit.
I spend months on the show. Yeah. Each show. Don't blast through it like a thing. I'm happy you're excited, but please.
That happened to me.
One at a time.
We had to pace Chef's Table after we watched 3 episodes in one night. We're like...
Too much.
It's too much, because now it's like... We didn't have a chance to like break it down. I miss that. Again, I'm less old-fashioned than you, but I'm slightly old-fashioned. I miss that breaking down each week's episode of a TV show at work or whatever, or with
friends. I understand the serialized shows where it's a cliffhanger. Oh my God, what's going to happen? I can promise you, spoiler alert, what's going to happen at the end of my show? It's going to wrap up very nicely. And the next show, I can tell you already.
Phil survive?
I'm going somewhere else. And I'm going to be okay.
Do you want to tease us with any of the locations you hit in the new season? Anything?
I'll tell you everything.
Yeah.
I'll tell you everything. It's not a secret. It's because you're going to see as soon as you put on the...
It's
going to be on your thing. Bangkok and Israel and Lisbon and Vietnam.
Oh, that's my bucket list. I want to spend... Because two things I love in life are street food and beaches.
Yeah.
And those are like...
Great.
Two of my 5 favorite things in the world, and Vietnam is known for both.
Vietnam's
spectacular. I cannot wait. And I love Vietnamese food based on what I've had here in America. Yeah.
And Mexico City?
Oh, I haven't been yet.
Wonderful. And it's only a few hours from here, and it's, you know, you're in another world, a beautiful world. I love it so much. And Mexico City that's like my new, like, where do you want to go for the weekend? I want to go there. 3-hour plane ride from here. Oh. Let's go.
That's so awesome.
And
yeah.
The food is like
forget
crazy
Palm Springs. Great. Forget driving to Palm Springs. That's fun.
I mean, we have a lot of Mexican food here in Los Angeles. A lot of it is great, but it's still nothing like that.
Of course.
Right? To have it at the source. Right?
Yeah.
If you like a cuisine, have it at the source.
That's all I feel about Vietnamese food. Like, that's why I want to go so
You won't
bad.
Believe it.
Yeah.
And then I do one American city every 6. I figure there should be an American city. And that's the last one is and this first batch it's New Orleans.
Oh
yeah.
Oh man.
Yeah.
I could spend
that. I'm amazed I survived. Actually.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I made it the last episode because you think maybe he won't survive.
Really?
Yeah.
You're not much of a drinker, right, Phil?
A little bit.
You'll have like wine.
I married an Irish girl, so it comes with.
Yeah, you don't want to be the sober one.
I got to keep up. I can't. I can't keep up.
New Orleans is my favorite city in America. Hands
down. Sure is fun.
It's got everything I like.
It's a party.
It's a real party. And the food is the best. One of the best restaurants I've ever eaten in my life Mimi's in the Marigny.
I don't know it.
It's a dive bar on the first floor.
Yeah.
And it says like as you walk upside, it says no smoking allowed upstairs. You're allowed to smoke in the downstairs. You go upstairs and it's like, it looks like a VFW. It's like a wood paneled wall and it's like a tapas restaurant. And it's all vino verde that they serve and all tapas. And it's like the food was unreal. And I mean, I've eaten at so many places in New Orleans.
I can't wait to
times.
Go there. That's thank you for that. I can give you one. I don't know if you know this one. It's a little out of town. It's like 20 minutes out of town. It's called Mosca's.
I haven't been, no.
Because there's a giant Italian population there. And apparently Al Capone sent his chef from Chicago saying, you boys down here don't know how to eat. And he said, and that was Mosca. And it's like Italian with crossed with the, you know, Cajun. It's incredibly great.
That's so awesome. Yeah. If you can't, like, it's expensive to travel. I understand. It's cost prohibitive to travel out of the country.
Yeah. But by the way, it's not also. There's deals all the time. When I first started going in my 20s, I was looking for the $99 flight, which you could get, and you can still get.
Right. And you just have to be, like, going to Florida for vacation is like slightly less expensive than if you find a good deal to get your Italy
yes,
or Paris, whatever.
Yes, but change your life.
New Orleans is a way to sort of see the world within America, I feel like, though.
Well,
it's crazy because it does not feel like you're in the U.S. when
it's the most European of cities, yeah. You know, and the best cities have that kind of mashup.
Right.
You know, yeah. This mix of everybody. Oh. We have it here. We have it here. New York has it. Chicago has it. New Orleans certainly has it. New Orleans has such a European flavor, right?
It truly yeah. feels like you're not in America yeah. when you're there. And because there's also a layer of lawlessness to New Orleans that makes you feel like
yes,
you're
be careful, everybody.
Yeah, it is, you know, you walking and drinking, you can take to-go cups. The first time I was in New Orleans, I didn't know that. I was I'm like, we're going to head out to another bar and we'll close up here. And they're like, do you want a to-go beer? And I was like, wait, a what? And they're like, yeah, you can drink and walk around. Yeah. I'm like, no way.
I'll never forget my first time. I'm walking on Bourbon Street at night. I'm like, wow, this is kind of amazing with the music coming out of every door yeah. and everyone's in the street and there's no cars and you're just walking down the street. And I go, I think I love this. And all of a sudden, a frat boy right in front of me just leans over right on the street. I'm like, let's go on the next street.
Is there a second floor restaurant?
Yes, sir, right.
So that's January 12th on Netflix. Check out Somebody Feed Phil.
Oh, I look for you there. I hope you like it. If you like it and it makes you want to travel, I'm telling you, there's no more mind expanding thing we can do in life.
I agree.
Right?
Nothing makes you feel, and it's so cliche to talk about, but nothing makes you feel inspired or recharged. I hate saying words like that, but yeah. it truly does feel like that. Like, I've been grinded down a little bit by 2017, if I'm being completely honest.
Who hasn't?
And I'm looking so forward to 10
Get
days of just
little.
Me and my wife just wandering
yes.
around Barcelona, eating and drinking. Snack-based economy is what my friend referred to it as the other night. Shout out to Dave Holmes. He said, oh, Barcelona, it's a snack-based economy.
Yes.
And I was like, ooh, that's right in my wheelhouse.
You're going to have a great time.
Well, this episode will come out. Well, you're listening to it now, so it'll be out the week of that of the premiere. So
wonderful.
Tune in tomorrow to Netflix to check out, or midnight tonight if you're listening to this the day it comes
yes,
out.
Yes,
listen to and check out Somebody Feed Phil is the
Can't
name.
Can't wait.
It's a little less wordy than the PBS title, but
that's right.
But you lose a sweet Harry Met Sally ref. Phil, thank you so much for coming on. I look
love
forward
it.
To more lunches, and I appreciate you coming by to talk.
Thank you.
As always, I'm at John Gabrus on Twitter. Oh, Phil, are you on Twitter and you want people to tweet any recommendations
reviews
of the show?
Phil Rosenthal. Just go to that.
Phil Rosenthal at yeah. John Gabrus. As always, if you rate me 5 stars on iTunes and roast me in the comments, I'll read it on air. check out Gabrus.com/shirts for all new shirts. And I'll see you around, shitheads. Get out of your home. Go see the world and eat some fucking food.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.